I'd like to turn next to the time when you're invited to join Ajahn Amaro as co-abbot of the newly established Abhayagiri Monastery in California. How did that come about?
Well, in America, they were the group in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, had the commitment to establish a branch monastery, and they knew Ajahn Sumedho because of his connection to California. His parents were in California. He'd go back about once a year to visit them. They were elderly. And so then that was in Southern California, but he'd come up. Jack Kornfield would invite him up and to teach. And so that a group of people started to gather who wanted to have a branch monastery of Amaravati in Northern California. And Ajahn Sumedho felt he couldn't really take it on, so he designated Ajahn Amaro to do that. So Ajahn Amaro would come about once a year and visit the Bay Area, but visit other areas of Buddhist groups in America, trying to get a feel for what this strange thing called America was. And so people, there started to be a groups of people, and then it gets into, say, like early 90s, and say our communities in Europe were they went through a whole period of upheaval and everybody said, let's not commit at all to the place in America. It's just too much. We've got enough on our plate already. We need to consolidate what we have and make sure our communities are stable, which is the right thing to do. And so one of the conditions was that they wouldn't start anything until they had a group of monks, at least four, to start this new venture in America. Around that time, in the beginning of the early 90s, then some of the group from the Bay Area were also coming to Thailand, and I was getting to know them, and then which was nice. They're good. They're very sincere, solid practitioners. So that was it was inspiring to see this. And then there was a period where I went on retreat and ended up in and stayed in England for a year, in Chithurst Forest for a year. Yeah. And I had already started to think in terms of, in long term of my life, I don't know that maybe I should be trying to be somewhere else and help in some other way. But it wasn't really clear in my mind. And then after being in retreat for, almost a year, then Ajahn Amaro came back from one of his trips to, he just spent the winter with the group in California, and he was relating the what was happening and how it was going, and also one of the senior monks from Chithurst, where I was. He had spent that time there, so they were saying what they're doing, and then saying how it'd be, it's just, and kind of, when are we ever going to be able to get enough monks to help, and then it sort of felt, well, you know, maybe I could help with that. So then I approached Ajahn Amaro and said, would you like me to help out? And Ajahn Amaro, when he relates the story, he said I was talking with him, but I was very hesitant and sort of wasn't quite direct. And he said, what's going on with Ajahn Pasu? He's usually really straightforward. And then when I said, when I was broached the subject of maybe helping him out, he just about leaped up and kissed me. But I said, the only thing is I don't have permission. I've got to go back to Thailand. I've got to get permission from the elders at Wat Bopong. I've got to make sure that I can pass on the abbotship of Wat Nanachat. So it's not a done deal. You can't say anything until that happens. So that and he felt a lot of confidence as he went forward and developing plans to keep going, because he always felt he had this ace in the back pocket of Ajahn Pasanam ready to help out. It ended up a wonderful collaboration between the two of us. Because I'd known Ajahn Amaro since the day he wandered into Wat Nanachat as a hippie off the beach.